chickens in the houses, they got chickens in the trees, chicken in the pots, the Mardawog, the Petaloomies, out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Now Marvin got me started, sold me my first hen. Now I got 4 and 20, and 24 more again. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Chicken in the morning, it's chicken in the night. Weren't for chicken Petaluma, never would have reached its height. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, smart talk about food, wine, and farming in the North Bay and, of course, beyond. We're going to be very local tonight. And speaking of local, did you get to a farmer's market this week? They are just absolutely glorious right now. It's an early fall, and I've got to say something to my engineer, Kirby. I need you to lower the sound on my headphones a little bit. Thank you so much. I can hear myself screaming in my own ear. That's perfect. And yeah, you can hear Lark in the background. She's a little feisty today. But farmers markets this last week, they're just glorious. Tomatoes have come on so strong. Every type of pepper has now ripened. And local melons are finally available. So it's the collision or the overlap of summer and fall, and it's just a great time. And judging from the Sebastopol Farmers Market and the Santa Elena Farmers Market, where I was on Friday, people are definitely appreciating it. And also, I want to say congratulations to everybody up in Healdsburg who put on a great event last night. It was a lovely dinner and auction to raise funds for a Healdsburg homeless shelter. And I had, as it was being planned, I thought, well, if my friends who I know who work so hard can do this, I can get involved too. So I ended up making creamy polenta for 200 people. And it was quite a sight. If you go to my Facebook page, which is simply Michelle Anna Jordan, you can see what a Volkswagen Beetle looks like when it has 7 slow cookers full of polenta in the back. And I only spilled a little tiny bit because I hit a pothole, which it's really hard to not do in Sonoma County. So we just lost a little tiny bit. And I heard that all of the various brands of slow cookers behaved themselves. I simply dropped it off and made sure it was all fine and then left. And the polenta was enjoyed by all. So it was nice to be a part of that event. And it just looked like a huge success. So congratulations to Dora Lise. That's how I got involved, of the cheese shop. She's been a guest on Mouthful a couple of times. And everyone else who both worked, who donated, and who also went to the event. It's the time of events. So many. You really want to be in two or three places at once these days. Next weekend, Labor Day weekend, is the Taste of Sonoma weekend with events every, I think, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm going to some of them. I'll be at the Coppola event on Friday night, and I'll be at Taste of Sonoma on Saturday, and also at Atwood Ranch, which I think is on Thursday. So it's one of those really busy times in Sonoma County, just before the cool weather and flu season start in. So get yourself ready. Get a flu shot, I think. Start making your bone broth to keep you healthy. And that's all. We don't have to think about fall anymore today. So what we're going to talk, who we're going to talk with tonight is somebody I met recently, Sue Strait, who is a vocalist with Manzanita Moon. I think you also play the harmonica, is that right?
I do. I play harmonica. I also play Zydeco rub board and tambourine and various shaky toys.
Oh, cool. And you're all, you work at Toronto Douay.
I do.
You work in the tasting room.
I'm the wine club manager, and okay. So I'm in the tasting room on Saturdays, and when they get busy down there, they mm-hmm. call me down, but okay. I love it.
Okay, and you also are writing.
I am.
Confessions.
I know.
And that's what we're going to talk about first.
Okay.
Because I love the idea of the book, so why don't you tell
Thank
us about
you.
It?
Okay, well, the book has been a long time coming. It's... titles have changed, and Michelle, thank you so much for your guidance and support
oh,
in this
sure.
project. I mean, God. Now I think I'm going to call it A Wine-Drenched Life, and it's mm-hmm. basically how a failed Jewish American princess from the San Fernando Valley ended up in the wine industry. I've been in the wine industry for 35 years now. And I'm also a professional wine judge and wine writer, and I lead a wine-drenched life. So it's sort of about how it all started and sort of all the adventures along the way and stuff people say and do and what it's actually like working behind the tasting room bar.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, and there's a stupid questions section.
You anticipated my next question. I was going to ask you, what are some of the most ridiculous things that people ask?
Usually when somebody asks a stupid question, it starts out with, so what are those little trees out there? Those would be grapevines. So, let's see. How many times do you have to hit those stakes out there to get them in the ground? Well, as many times as we need to. So, is Zinfandel a Chardonnay? Maybe for you it is.
Wow. I wouldn't have been able to make up any of those.
Oh, there's more, but yeah.
Do they ask if they can see the white Zinfandel grape?
No, but a lot of times, not so much lately because rosés and blushes have gotten so much more popular. But back in the day, I would pour somebody a Zinfandel and they'd get this sort of puzzled look on their face and they'd say, well, it's kind of dark. I'm like, honey, in these parts, Zinfandel's a red wine.
I remember one time where I think I was in, oh gosh, maybe Minnesota. So it was a while ago, probably 20 years ago. And I was trying to find a wine I wanted to drink. They didn't have any Pinot Noir. So I saw Zinfandel on the menu. So I ordered it. Uh-oh. And this, like, pink thing arrived. And the guy actually argued with me. He said, no, there are two kinds of Zinfandel. There's a white Zinfandel that is a different grape. And I said, like, okay.
All right.
You win, but...
All right. Just give me a beer.
Yeah, really. Tell us some more of this. Tell us some more of the adventures in tasting rooms.
Oh, boy. Okay. Just some of the stuff that people do. Usually, like I said, I've been doing this for 35 years, and mm-hmm. 95% of the people are amazing. And one of the things that's kept me really positive and kept me fresh through all these years is just trying to look at each person as an individual when they come mm-hmm. in, and I like to ask them questions. Where are you from? How did you hear about us? What brings you here? And in doing that, I've learned a lot. I've learned great recipes. I've learned great places to visit. I've been invited all over the country. Oh, come stay with us, whatever. But sometimes when people are drinking, it the big event weekends can get a little bit hairy.
Yeah.
Like one time I was working at Limerick Lane, and it was barrel tasting weekend, and everybody says no limos, no buses, but they show up anyway. And this bus pulled up, And we're doing it all in the cellar, so we can accommodate all these people. We've got different stations set up. So people get out of the bus and they've got a bagpiper. Wee 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 wee. No, you out. That was one thing.
Did they leave?
They left. I put on the big boss panties and I was like, no, you out now. And then, oh my God, there's so much stuff that happens. People getting naked in the fountains.
Really?
A lot of,
and is that a result of they've been tasting too much or are they just that well? Okay.
Yeah, sometimes. if you have caves, a lot of times people can get lost back there and you don't necessarily want to stumble on them. You know, they're having a lot of fun back in the caves. Mm-hmm. God, there's just so much stuff that mm-hmm. happens, and most people are really delightful, mm-hmm. you know, and they can, and they're, what I love is when newbies come in mm-hmm. and they're very intimidated and they're afraid to ask questions. They don't want to mispronounce anything. They don't want to say anything wrong. And those are the most fun. You know, I was talking with one of my friends about that today.
Yeah, watch them look at the word Valdiguier or something.
Right, and they get this sort of deer in the headlights look. And I love that because I teach them, this is fun, you know. You should be, when you go wine tasting, you should feel like you're visiting with a friend.
Yeah, absolutely.
And ask any question. And except for what are those little trees out there, then we might give you the Belushi eyebrow. But it's just so much, it's so fun to see the lights come on. When you teach somebody mm-hmm. how to taste a wine and how to really get their face in there and how to really enjoy it, then you can actually see, wow, oh, this is great. And then they go on to the, and then we usually recommend where they should go and eat and mm-hmm. and other wineries they should visit. And what a lot of people don't know about the wine industry is it's a really back fence industry. It's mm-hmm. very cohesive. We all work together really mm-hmm. well, and we all send each other around, so that's something I really love doing. What I don't love is usually, and it's usually a guy, no offense, but it's usually a guy that comes in and he's just talking. And he just wants everybody to know everything.
He knows way more than anyone else around him.
Even those of us working behind the bar, you know, and he's telling us what wines he's got in the cellar and what scores there were. And after a few minutes, I just see a pair of lips just going blah blah blah. you know, unless you're going to drink it with me, don't tell me about it. You know. And one time back when I was, I don't know, maybe about 20 years ago, I was working at a winery and we had a Pinot Noir and a Petite Syrah, and the guy wanted to try the Petite Syrah before the Pinot. And I said, actually, you know, you're going to want to try the Pinot Noir first because it's lighter and the Petite Syrah will wipe out your mouth for anything else. And he looks at me and he goes, well, what do you know? And I said, well, I actually help blend these wines, and I've been a professional wine judge now for a few years, and I don't know, you know.
Wow, what do you know?
What do you know? Yeah. So, but I think that was about 20 years ago, mm-hmm. and now there are a lot more women in the wine industry. There are more female winemakers. There are more women somms and MWs, and there's
we should say that sommelier and masters of wine.
Right, sommeliers and masters of wine. There are more of us coming up through the ranks, and so I think that there's more respect even for a young woman working behind mm-hmm. the bar, because there's all these wine business programs, and it's, people are finding out this is a serious thing. It's a valid industry. It's not just something that we do for fun. These are our careers, mm-hmm. you know. So,
and it's not just a guy thing.
In fact, women tend to have better palates.
They do. Anyway. Well, we do have better palates, and there's, you know, very specific physiological reason that we have better palates.
Right.
We have babies. We have to protect.
Right.
We're hardwired to detect the slightest bit of certain things so that, you know, the race continues.
Exactly. Yeah. Did you ever read that book, A Natural History of the Senses by Diane Ackerman?
I have quoted from that book like 9 million times.
I know. That's one of my favorite books.
I'll tell you, if she had used one more adjective in that book, the whole thing would have collapsed. But she just pulled it short. And that book was a huge influence on me when I first discovered it.
Me too.
And then did you read the follow-up, The Moon by Whale Light?
I didn't, but I've got to get it now.
Now, that there was an essay. I think all of the essays, we're talking about Diane Ackerman, who for a while had a TV show on PBS, which I think actually didn't work.
Oh.
It's the same way, you know, I don't know if you know Brian Greene. He's a quantum physicist. He teaches at Columbia, and he has written about quantum physics for the layperson.
Mm-hmm.
And his book, I'll think of it in a... he wrote Fabric of the Universe. No, his first book was Elegant Universe. And that completely changed how I view the world. But he also had a TV show on PBS, and it didn't work either. I don't think any less of either Diane Ackerman or Brian Greene. It was just the directors, and they gussied it up too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these kinds of weird graphics, and they hopped it up too much, and you didn't really get to the essence of these two really beautiful, elegant writers. But let me tell you quickly, in The Moon by Whale Light, it's about her explorations and adventures with animals. And where I first discovered her was in The New Yorker in, I think, 1986. She wrote this amazing essay about bats. And I read the article one night. I got up the next morning and I called the organization that she was talking about, Bat Conservation International, which wasn't very well known at that point, based in Austin, Texas. And I became a member, and I've been a member ever since.
Wow.
And then all of her, and I think each of her animal essays, was published in The New Yorker and then gathered in the book, The Moon by Moon by Whale Light.
That's great.
If you can't find a copy, you can borrow my copy.
Great.
So, you know, it's Mouthful. We go down all kinds of side roads and back alleys, and right now we're going to go down a musical one with a little bit of break from the Rhythm Rangers.
At my door, leaves are falling. Cold wild wind has come. Sweethearts walk by together, and I still miss someone. Will I go out on a party? Look for a little fun, but I find a darkened corner, 'cause I still miss someone. Will I wonder if she's sorry? What we have begun. There's someone for me somewhere, and I still miss someone. Yeah, I still miss someone.
It was the Rhythm Rangers, Kevin Russell, doing one of my favorite Johnny Cash songs, I Still Miss Someone. It's a lot of blue eyes I never got over, you know? You gotta love that. Okay, now what I want to do, talking about tasting room adventures and stories and that sort of thing, let's talk about what you're doing at Trentadue. I don't know how many local people really understand what a wine club means.
Oh,
so let's walk them through that.
Sure. You know, 20 years ago, not too many wineries had wine clubs. And with direct consumer has gotten huge. And what a wine club is we sign people up and we deliver. Well, like at Trinity is a great example. We have different levels of wine clubs where you can get, we even have a port club where people that come in and they want ports. We do five ports. They want to get a selection and the winemaking team gets together and I get to sit in on that and we choose which wines we're going to do. So they get two shipments of four ports a year. Mm-hmm. And then we have a couple of other levels where they can get a mixture of six different wines twice a year or four times a year, or they can get a case four times a year and we customize it for them. So, mm-hmm. so it's sort of like Christmas, you know, mm-hmm. at your door, or at your office, and people just love it. You know, it makes it really easy for them. So mm-hmm. what my role is signing people up, getting them excited about the club, coordinating the parties. We do some really fun club parties.
So special
parties,
events for special wine club.
Events.
Yes.
And the club members are, you know, they're your best customers because they're buying from you all the time. And not only are they buying during the wine club runs, but they're buying from you the rest of the year. So they're your best customers. They also bring you more people because the club members become sort of like part of the family, mm-hmm. you know. So they want to bring their friends in to be part of the mm-hmm. family too. So it's a great thing to have, mm-hmm. you know.
Now I've always been curious. What percentage, or however you want to talk about it, are relatively local, like in, say, in the Bay Area, versus the ones that are really quite a distance?
Well, I would say, you know, most of our customers are from California, but we've got people from all over. Mm-hmm. And about half, we do well call. So about half of our customers pick up. So that means that they're either from, you know, local or Bay Area or mm-hmm. or even Reno. They'll come out and, mm-hmm. you know, once a year or twice a year and pick up. And then we do get people all over the country. So mm-hmm. Probably, you know, and I think it depends on the winery. Each winery has its own demographic.
Sure, absolutely.
And so I think it depends on where their fans are. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got a lot of people from Texas. And
there seems to be a really huge interest in Texas in Sonoma County wines. Whenever I go to any of the big events, I always end up meeting, either sitting at a table with people from Texas or talking to people from Texas.
They're great customers. I hate to generalize about any particular demographic, but the Texans, when they come in, we always have a good time with them, and they buy a bunch of wine, and they bring their friends, and every wine club I've ever managed, there's a bunch of people from Texas in it. So I think,
yeah. You know, they tend to live big.
They do live big.
You know, they live big and they talk. They're not sort of, you know, quiet and shy and,
right.
and you know, they live big.
Right. And those are the kind of people that are super fun to deal with when they come into the tasting room. I mean, sometimes I'll get a couple that has all the personality of a box of hair. Mm-hmm. It's like, so where are you from?
Iowa.
I knew that's
what kind of what kind of wines do you like to drink?
Red wines.
Well, what do you drink at home?
Red wines.
I'm trying to draw it out of them and try to, you know, but that doesn't happen that often. But sometimes they leave and it's just like, oh God.
some people, I think it's just how they were raised. That, mm-hmm. You know, they're not forthcoming.
Right. Right. I try to make it fun, and I'll actually play harmonica and sing for them in the tasting room uh-huh. if they want that.
Do you happen to know? Oh God, but I'll think of his last name in a minute. But there's a guy. He's an old friend. He was in a country band, the band that introduced me to country music, California Zephyr. Alan. Oh God, what is Alan's last?
Alan Watt.
I will think of Alan's last name in a
second.
Isn't
that Watt?
No, it's not.
Is it mandolin.
He plays washboard. He plays all kinds of things, but he yodels, and he works at a winery in Napa.
Oh,
and he's the yodeling tasting room guy.
I love it.
So when you said you play harmonica and sing, and he sent me a couple CDs. He's written a bunch of stuff.
That's hilarious.
About working in wineries and being at wineries and
right.
stuff.
And so sort of like high on the shelf is a Wurzburger.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So tell us a little bit more about Trenta Due. Walk us through the wines that are being made there now.
Okay. I love working there, and I'm not just saying
that. And it's in Geyserville.
It's in Geyserville. It's right off the 101. Mm-hmm. The family's
Aha, been, you're from Southern California.
I am from Southern California.
You said the.
I did. I'm like totally from the San Fernando Valley, you know? And I've been here for like 35 years. I'm not. No. It's right off the 101. I have to say that.
Yeah, and we all, you know, if you're from Northern California, we want to beat you.
I know. Sorry. It's just, it's ingrained.
Brian, the morning guy here during the week, Brian Griffith, he says it, and it's like, Brian, you're in Northern California now.
Okay. Well, that came from, it used to be the Golden State Freeway. The 405 mm-hmm. was the Golden State Freeway, mm-hmm. and so that's where it started, mm-hmm. the 101, the mm-hmm. 405.
See, because you can say the 101 freeway, but you can't say the 101.
Oh, okay.
Because that would be like saying the Sioux. Or, but, you know, like the Lark. You don't you don't use the article. You don't use an article with a name. You use it with a description. But we don't have to get all grammar geeky, which I can do at the drop of a hat. So please continue. It's right off 101.
It's right off 101, and it's family owned and family operated, which is harder to find these days. Mm-hmm. The family has been farming the property since the late 50s, and. Which is also great because we have about 200 acres and it's a state. So they can, having farmed it for so long, they know how each block is going to react and when to pick and how to process because they've got all that history there. Mm-hmm. And they're a really nice family. So we've got some of the oldest Sangiovese vines in the county. I think the Sangiovese was planted about 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. One of the wines I brought is our Old Patch Red. And this is, it's really kind of a cool wine because it's a blend of Zinfandel, Petit Sirah, and Carignan. And the Carignan block was planted in 1896. And it's these gnarly old vines out mm-hmm. by the railroad tracks when you mm-hmm. come in.
No, right where it is.
Right, okay.
Hey, why don't you crack that puppy open?
Yeah.
We're not going to have a cork sound. There, we got the screw cap sound.
We've got the screw cap sound.
You know, and I have to say, screw caps have gotten so much better.
They have. In fact, we got into some library tasting. Like that? Okay. We got into some library tasting a couple weeks ago, and we tried an 04 version of this old mm-hmm. patch. And it was the first vintage we had put in screw caps, mm-hmm. and it was gorgeous. It was mm-hmm. completely clean and bright and juicy, and because the verdict's still kind of out on screw caps because they haven't been around that long.
Right. And so. I remember when I was first writing my wine pairing column, in the first few months there was a white and it came with a screw cap, and you know, I have a very specific mention. I taste the wine, I write crazy tasting notes, non-traditional tasting notes, and then I make food recommendations and a recipe. And this guy wrote and ripped me to shreds because I didn't tell my readers about the screw cap and how convenient it was. Well, the thing was, it is the worst screw cap I have ever encountered. It almost took a jackhammer to get the thing off. I'm serious. I had needle nose pliers. I had a wrench. I could not get the damn screw cap off. And it's like, he's so lucky I didn't talk about it because I would have ripped it.
Yeah.
But
well, cheers.
Cheers. Okay, let's get that nice sound. Ah.
I love my job.
Mine's not bad either. That's a very, for the, let's see, Petit Sirah, Carignan.
Zinfandel.
Not a lot of people blend in. This is very smooth.
$15 a bottle.
Those aren't the varietals I necessarily would have guessed when right. I tasted this. This is very delicate on the palate.
Yeah, it's a good Tuesday night wine. Mm-hmm. Goes with a lot of different foods, and you know, so you don't have to be, you don't have to worry about impressing anybody, or although it would, if
it
you,
would, no, it's a lovely wine. Yeah. It is an absolute lovely wine. I'm somebody who doesn't, I don't drink many of the really big reds. I taste them, I can evaluate them, but I don't drink them because I find I'm not thrilled with their impact.
Right.
They can really cause headaches.
Right. I know. I tend to, if I was on a desert island and I had to pick one white and one red, the white would be probably a dry Riesling, like an Alsatian mm-hmm. Riesling, and the red would be a Pinot.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lenny Kravitz would have to be there with me, and he would have to have a guitar, and then I would be very, I'd
there
be
you, that's a nice desert island. I would take, for white, I would take a sparkling.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know, I was going to say maybe an Albarino, but I think I would take a sparkling. I'd probably take one of, probably take an Iron Horse sparkling.
Yummy, yeah.
And then if I could get it, and since it's a desert island, we can have anything we want.
Right, exactly.
I would take Copland Creek Pinot Noir, probably 2004 Copland Creek Pinot Noir.
And who would drink it with you?
Joey Ramone.
Yeah, there you right on.
Either Joey Ramone or Brian Ferry.
Oh,
but,
good.
I think I'd take Joey Ramone with me. I think he would, in the end, be more fun.
Oh, yeah.
I don't. First of all, we don't really want Brian Ferry going out in the daylight.
No, you know? he would probably burst into flames and turn into ashes.
Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, Joey Ramone, Pinot Noir, and a nice Iron Horse sparkling, and I would be.
Good. Yeah.
And a big shade tree, because I'm not one who goes out in the sun much either.
Right.
Anyway, see, we get really silly here on Mouthful. So we are going back to what Trontadue produces.
They're used to me there. They actually encourage my behavior. So we're known at Trontadue for more big reds. So we do this blend, which is one of our biggest sellers, the Old Patch mm-hmm. Red.
It really is a lovely wine. And I've had it many times over the years.
It's sort of a Sonoma County staple. That we do Zinfandel, Petit Sirah, Merlot. What else do we do? We do a Cuvée 32, which is sort of a super Tuscan. And we do Sangiovese. So mm-hmm. the Cuvée 32 is a sort of a super Tuscan blend where we use some Sangiovese, some Cab, some Merlot, some Montepulciano, and it's big and luscious and, you know. Mm-hmm. Be great with Italian foods. And we also do a champagne, and we can call it champagne because we grandfathered it in like
oh wow,
Corbel did. We've been doing it uh-huh. forever, and it's like a really Prosecco like
uh-huh.
It's a blend of Chardonnay, Colombard, and Chenin Blanc.
Mm-hmm.
And people just love
it. Is it dry or off dry?
I would say it's just a little bit off dry. It's got just enough residual sugar to give it kind of a round mouth feel.
Mm-hmm.
But we do a lot of events at the winery. We do a lot of weddings
right.
there. We have a beautiful events facility. So just about every weekend we're doing weddings. And we sell, the wedding people just love it. We mm-hmm. sell so much of it.
And I see you didn't bring a bottle.
I didn't bring the bubbles. I should have.
Yeah, I'm going to have to invite you back. I need to try. That's one sparkling wine. One of my goals is to taste all the sparkling wines made in Sonoma County. And
yeah.
I thought I had pretty much done it, but that's one I've missed.
Right. It's really good. The mm-hmm. only challenge, once you open it, it's so easy to drink that it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's gone.
Yes.
It's just
yes.
And gone, you said and you're really happy.
And you said Colombard.
Colombard, Chenin, and uh-huh. And Chardonnay. Mm-hmm.
So I think it's Wooden Head does a sparkling. I think it's a sparkling Colombard that is just extraordinary.
You know, Colombard used to be really popular,
yeah.
but it's kind of gone away. Oh, the other thing that we do is ports. We do
right.
We
yeah,
do
you mentioned
five different ports. We do a Muscat port. We do a Petite Sirah port, a Zinfandel port, a Tawny, which we call Angelica,
mm-hmm.
and a Chocolate Amore, which is our Merlot port infused with chocolate. That's another
I've seen
huge
that one.
Seller.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
It's actually really good. It's not, you know, the chocolate's not out of balance. It's
mm-hmm.
just, and I call it our gateway wine because when people have had it out in the marketplace or somewhere else and they come up, they've got like this look in their eyes and they know exactly what they want. And they walk up to the bar and I go, "You're here for the Chocolate Amore, right?" And they go, "Yeah."
That's so funny. You know, if that's what it takes to get people into wine.
Well, yeah, and then we sell them the other stuff, so, mm-hmm. you know.
Okay, I think it's time for one more musical break here on Mouthful.
Coming round the bend.
moving on down to San Antonio. When I was a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy and don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and I cry. Probably drinking coffee, smoking big cigars. Man, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But those people keep moving, and that's what tortures me.
Rhythm Rangers with another Johnny Cash cover. Love that song. Love the Rhythm Rangers. And one thing that's really nice about it is they play around a lot, so you can go see them a lot here in Sonoma County. We are talking with Sue Strait, the Wine Wench. How did you get that name?
Well, I've always been sort of irreverent and sassy and really into the Renaissance Fair. And back,
did you used to go to that?
Oh, a lot. Yeah, I really miss it being in Novato.
Yeah,
was,
I used to go a lot too.
So
I used to
great.
Sew my clothes, make something special to wear to it.
Oh yeah, I lace me up in a bodice and watch me go. I love it. So I was working at Windsor Vineyards. I was managing the tasting room on the plaza, and a friend of mine was working with this new radio station called KHBG, and it was Healdsburg's mm-hmm. radio station. It was just right down the road, and he said, "Hey, would you're a wine judge, you're into wine, and you don't have a problem talking to people. You're a musician. Would you be interested in hosting a wine show for us?" And I said, "Sure." And we needed to come up with a name. You know, I didn't want to just be.
Sure.
I just didn't want to be just Sue Strait. You know,
that's like when we started the show.
Yeah, said, right. You're Ms. Mouthful.
5 minutes before I went on the air, 2 minutes before, Robin Prodrug. She says, "We need a name for the show. What are you going to call the show?" And I said, "I have no idea." And I said, "Mouthful." And she called it Mouthful with Michelle Anna Jordan, and I changed it.
Right.
You know, by the next time, next year I changed it.
Well, what my buddy said, you know, you're really into wine and you're kind of wenchy, so why don't you be the wine wench? And I said, done.
Cool.
So ever since then, it's my writing name. It's and it fits. You know, it's I think too many people take wine way too seriously. They think that when they uncork a bottle, you know, angels are going to sing. And there are wines out there that can change your whole perception. But for the most part, you know, like you and I, we're sitting here and we're just enjoying this.
Yeah.
You know, and when we're judging it, yeah, we're really serious about it, and we go through it, and we write down the aromas and the flavors, and we take our notes and stuff. But usually, we're just drinking it.
Yeah, exactly. It enhances. It's part of life.
It's part of life, and it's, you know, and it's great that here in Sonoma County we are so blessed with all the wines, all the variety of great wines we've got all over the place here.
Yeah,
and access to wines from other countries, yeah, and stuff.
Well,
too.
The agricultural diversity, the microclimate, the valleys, the hills, the fog. I mean, we can grow with such diversity here. We're really blessed.
Right. Right, and cheeses, and I mean, well, you know all about that stuff. I mean, all the bounty of everything that we've got going here. Can't you spend a day just exploring, you know, farmers markets or what cheese places?
You can't anymore spend a single day because of traffic. I used to, in the early to mid-90s, I taught a class called Cook's Tour of Sonoma. And
remember that.
It was through the JC, and we would spend, we would meet at our first location, and we might go to a place in Santa Rosa, hit a place in Petaluma, zip over to Sonoma, and then come back, Highway 12, and stop somewhere. And you can't do it in that way anymore because traffic. So if I ever suggest anyone tour, or if I take anyone, I keep it more discreet, like you do. You do a small part of the coast.
Right.
You do.
Okay.
You could do Healdsburg and Geyserville in one day.
Right.
But you can't really anymore do Healdsburg, Santa Rosa, and Petaluma.
Right.
And plus, there's more. I mean, there are now cheese facilities, cheese factories in nearly every part of the county. There's just so much more than there was even in the 90s when I was teaching that class. That's a good thing. Because people think that we're becoming a monoculture. And certainly, you know, we have more grapevines than we've ever had here. But there's still tremendous, tremendous diversity that I don't think will ever go away.
Right. I know. I wrote a piece not too long ago about cideries. And and apple cider, you know, pear cider. The cider has exploded.
Yeah,
here.
We just did a show on cider, I think, 3 weeks ago, just in advance of the Gravenstein Apple Fair. And that's a great thing. That is giving such a great boost to the apple industry because some people, you know, the DeVotos and
right.
the wonderful people who have Ellen with Tilted Shed, people are actually putting in new plantings of apples now. So
that's really so great.
It's great. And there are some just fabulous ciders. They get better all the time, too, as we, you know, there's more dry ciders. And I want dry, not off dry.
Me, too.
And there are just some gorgeous ones.
Yeah.
So, I think that's a really wonderful thing that's happening in Sonoma County.
Yeah, and the craft distilleries, too.
Yes. Those I know less about. Sometime I'll put on my spirits hat and I'll go, I've tasted some of them, but those you really have to be careful with tasting.
Oh, yeah, you do. It's good to have a driver if you're doing that.
Exactly. And, you know, but we do have them. We have them in Petaluma, Sonoma, Sebastopol, Santa Rosa.
Right.
I don't know if we have any up in Healdsburg yet.
I don't know of any in Healdsburg. There's a really cool one in Napa at Oxbow.
Uh-huh.
And everything they make is really great. Uh-huh.
And then I know that there are a few people that are, shall we say, practicing off the grid to perfect their technique with absinthe.
Oh, wow.
And I would love to see more absinthe. That, to me, is the most romantic of any spirit. All of the literature that goes along with it and the art movement.
Right.
The end of the 19th century and early 20th century, there was a man over in Sonoma who had, and I think he does still have, the wine exchange. He had thousands and thousands of dollars of absinthe posters. He collected absinthe posters.
Yeah,
he ended up selling them, and he sold them to somebody in Marin County who was going to put them on display and was both importing absinthe and also preparing to make it, and they've sort of vanished.
Oh.
I've got to do some research and try to find them again, because some of those, there were, I think, two of the posters were the only ones known to exist in the world.
Wow.
And then some were one of only three that existed, and there was a whole culture. And it's funny because they were the advertisements of the day. You know, they'd put them up with, you know, they'd roller on glue and slap them on the side of the building. And when it was time, they'd just be ripped down.
Right.
But there were people who would go directly to the presses, and they'd get two or three, and they saved them. And that's where these are coming from. And there's a lot of expression of the qualities of absinthe itself in the posters.
Right.
It's really interesting.
Right.
So I am hoping we get a few local absinthe producers.
It would be so cool to have sort of like a La Belle Epoque party.
Yes.
Where everybody dresses up and it's all Art Nouveau and we sit around drinking absinthe.
Well, that's the Downton Abbey party I always wanted to have.
Right.
I know that Downton Abbey's, I guess we just wait for it to be rerun and then we have a big Downton Abbey party with absinthe.
I'm in.
Most people I know would be in, believe me. Let's talk a little. Oh, where are you writing? Where are you publishing these days?
I am. I've been writing for Wine Country This Week magazine for 11 years. Mm. And
where is that public? Where is that out of?
Sonoma. They're out of Sonoma.
Okay.
And that's a really fun gig because about once a month my editor will email me and say, okay, I want you to cover this winery, this restaurant. And this is how many words I need. This is when it's due. And this is what it pays. And I go out and I go places that I wouldn't normally go.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I do on my days off when I'm not playing music. I do mm-hmm. that. And I also, I have a website, which is, I have a blog, wine-wench.com. And I post stuff, not as much as I should. I have total blog guilt.
Anyone who has a blog has blog guilt.
Yeah. And for about 5 years, I wrote for the San Diego Union Tribune.
Oh.
I did a uh-huh. wine column for them.
Uh-huh.
But mostly, and I do pick up other freelance gigs.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I love to write, you know, mm-hmm. like you. You know, you get into that zone. You sit down, and it's sort of like, sometimes it feels like you're just a conduit. And mm-hmm. it's just sort of coming through you, and you're just, you know, doing
that's,
your thing.
That's my preferred state.
Mine too.
Mm-hmm.
Mine too. And it just, you know, you look up, and 2 hours have gone by, and you've got something to show for it. It's great.
Yeah, it is. You're also a musician.
I am. And
Manzanita Moon.
Manzanita Moon. I've been playing. I recently rejoined them. We took a little break for a while, but Dave Strait and I formed that band back in 2001, and we were world famous in Healdsburg for a long time. We played a lot around Sonoma County, a lot of winery parties, a lot of street dances and nonprofit things, and we were everywhere. And I left the band for a time and just rejoined this last year, and we're starting to pick it up again, and it's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the lead singer and harmonica player in that band, and I also play Zydeco rubboard, so mm-hmm. if we do Cajun Zydeco stuff, I'm the one out in front doing that, and I also play tambourine and... Yeah,
mm-hmm.
super fun. So yeah,
maracas.
I play maracas. I play whatever.
I love maracas.
Cowbell. More cowbell.
More cowbell. Hell, I was driving home from something the other night. I was driving home from St. Helena Farmers Market. Don't Fear the Reaper came on, cranked it up really loud. Sure made the drive go smoothly.
I know. Don't you love that? I'll
drive anywhere with good music.
Oh, me too. Do you just play it through your iPhone, or do you Spotify, or what do you do?
I do broadcast radio.
Ah, okay.
I am old school.
Okay.
And I do. I also have a CD player, and I have a tape player. But I like real broadcast radio, and I go back and forth between stations.
Oh, there you go. I do that sometimes, but I've collected so much music on my iPhone that I never know what's going to come up. It could be Etta James or the Ramones, you mm-hmm. know, or you know, Elvis Costello. Or
yeah, I used to do that, but and I'm probably not up on current technology. I don't know if it still works this way, but you would have a designated dead frequency, and you would broadcast to that through your phone. I don't know if that's still how it's done.
I don't know. Mine just says BT for Bluetooth, and I hit it, and yeah, see, it works.
It's different now. And when I would be driving, say, if I was driving a distance, you had to keep finding new frequencies because nothing would be, you know, all of a sudden you're getting nothing. There's like 10 mariachi stations, and you can't find a hole to get your stuff. And that just got so frustrating. And now I'm not traveling right now.
Right.
Because I'm in a committed relationship with a 15 3/4-year-old dachshund.
Yeah.
And a 3-year-old dachshund. And I don't go anywhere I can't take them, because if I'm gone, they're sad.
Right.
And I don't want them to be sad.
Right.
So I wouldn't have gotten them if I wasn't willing to make that commitment.
Right.
So.
I know. I don't travel much because I've got a 2-year-old cattle dog, Lola.
Yeah.
So she goes with me a lot of places.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I hear you. You make that commitment, and they're your fur kid. And
yeah. Yeah, I go to New Orleans, and I haven't gone to New Orleans since I got Lark, but Joey fits under the seat.
Oh, nice.
In his approved Southwest Airlines crate. And the next time I go, because my daughter lives near New Orleans, the next time I go, I think the two of them will fit under there, so I will.
That's cool.
They will go with me. So, you know, the things we do for love, huh?
Right, right.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up. When do if people want to come see you and get you to talk and that sort of thing at Toronto Dewey, best on the weekends?
Yeah, I'm always in the tasting room on Saturdays.
Okay.
And if they come in during the week, all they've got to do is just ask for me and I'll come down. You know, I love to meet people. Mm-hmm. It's always fun, you know. Mm-hmm. And I never know who I'm going to meet or what they're going to do. We had a group in the other day, and they said, we were talking about music because I try to make people feel comfortable. And I said, yeah, my band does Johnny Cash and Patsy Cline. And this woman looks at me and she goes, okay, do Crazy. And I did. I just threw it down, you know, and the whole tasting room went quiet and people liked it. So
it makes it so tempting for me to say, let's close out the show with I Fall to Pieces. But I won't put you on the spot. But that's my favorite Patsy Cline song.
It's a great song.
It is. Are you doing anything for the upcoming wine weekend?
Well, yeah, my band is playing at Manzanita Moon. Will be playing at Ruth McGowan's in Cloverdale, which is also known as the Cloverdale Ale Company. And mm-hmm. we'll be on from 7 to 10 on Saturday night, the 3rd.
Oh.
No cover. Mm-hmm. Good food, good beer.
So that's after Taste of Sonoma
right.
at McMurray Ranch.
Right.
So you're not doing anything at McMurray Ranch?
No, I'm just going to be, I'll be holding down the bar at the winery and then just putting my musician's hat on and, you know, going on up to Cloverdale.
Okay, cool. And then we've got we've got 4 more minutes, Kirby. I think we've got 4 more minutes to fill.
Okay.
So I'm going to toss that ball to you, my dear. You want to tell us a little bit more about the book you're working on?
Okay.
Because I know that you're weaving in some spicy stories.
I'm weaving in some spicy stories. I had to change one. It was called She's Banging the Boss, So You're Fired. And I got a little too specific on it. And
well, in a general way, why did that cause someone to be fired?
Well, because in this particular situation, the wine industry is a little quirky. A lot of weird stuff happens. You know, eccentric people own the wineries sometimes. And this woman, it was purported, had a thing with the owner. And it just a lot of different stuff happened, and she was sort of immune, and she basically said, you know, you got to get her. It's either her or me.
To you?
Yeah.
Oh, so okay.
Yeah, so I had to, yeah, so I got the axe there. So that was one situation that I'm going to need to tone down and not be quite so descriptive about when the book actually comes out. Some of the other stuff, there's one that's going to be called Sex in the Cellar, where I talk about the barrel treatment.
barrel treatment? You have to explain that.
Oh, my. Well, you know, there's barrels in the back, usually in the caves, and and it's sort of a different kind of barrel treatment.
Okay. Okay. We'll let it go at that.
let's see. Some of the other stories are about more of just what happens at wineries and behind the scenes, and what we say about people when they leave. You know, if you're, and one thing that people need to remember when they come in and they go tasting is the people behind the bar, we're people too. Mm-hmm. And we're not just, you know, serve me. And so if you come in and you treat us like humans, we'll be great. But if you're, you know, if you're an asshat, we're gonna we're gonna talk about you.
Mm-hmm. It's a good thing to remember,
right?
It's like in restaurants,
exactly.
It's not like waiters and waitresses don't have eyes and ears,
right? Exactly. So what else am I going to be talking about? I am going to actually put in some just educational stuff, you know, mm-hmm. how to taste wine, bottle sizes. That's going to be called Size Does Matter, you know, bottle sizes.
Oh, you are such a wench. And on that note, I think we are out of time. Our guest, Sue Strait, Trontidue Winery, and the band Manzanita Moon. Thank you so much. And
thank you
for bringing wines. This was a great hour. Really
thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Thanks for having me.
We won't be here next week because we always take the Sunday of Labor Day weekend off, but I'll be back 2 weeks from tonight, September 11th, with another yummy episode of Mouthful Smart Talk about food, wine, and farming here in Sonoma County and beyond. I'm Cheryl Anna Jordan. Have a great couple of weeks.
Grapes are covering the grassland. They're buying up for family farms. Selling out, who can blame them? Wine's